Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
Thank you to Oprah for coming by to introduce me, Justin McElroy.
Do you really think if Oprah actually came by to introduce one of us, it would be you?
That's fair. Yeah. Of our life choices, I think Oprah would support yours more, if we're being honest.
I'm not saying she would be against either of our life choices. I'm just saying if she could only introduce one of us...
Oprah, choose your favorite. Tweet now, Oprah, and vote.
Oprah, who is definitely listening to our podcast.
Only one
every
vote
week.
In this poll will be accepted, and it's Oprah's. If you're not Oprah, don't waste your time. So we are going to continue our combo.
Yes.
Our three. Is this three in a row?
Is it? Yes.
Yes, it is.
It is.
We went from...
I think I'm killing it next week, but that's okay. We'll celebrate
CBD
this.
Oil to placebo effect to Perkins tractors.
That's right. I kind of referenced this in our last episode on placebo effect, that there was one of the more influential experiments that was done to kind of illustrate the placebo effect was in reference to these things called Perkins tractors, which I didn't know much about.
I know about this one.
Oh,
I remember these ads from when I was a kid.
Oh, boy.
Hi, everybody. This is Dan Perkins of Perkins Tractors. I want to encourage you to come on down this weekend. We've got a big Labor Day sale kicking off. Just want to remind you the price is going to grow up and the kids are going to grow up. So make sure you get on down to Perkins Tractors and get yourself one of these fine machines. We've got 0% financing. No such thing as bad credit here at Perkins Tractors. Come on down. Get one of these bad boys and start tracting today.
Is that what you do with tractors?
Today.
Tracting?
Today.
He was arrested shortly after. He
I love you.
Not...
I love you for your farming skills, man.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Tracting? That's not the kind of tractor I'm talking about.
All right.
Nor is Dan Perkins. Is that who it was?
Who was Dan?
Dan? No.
You didn't see those ads?
No.
It used to be after Ballard's. Mm-hmm. Remember Ballard's, though?
B-A.
LLARDS, it's true. We're the best, stand the test. Outprices all the rest. Ballard's brings the best
to you. Yeah, nobody outside this area will know that, right?
It's Google.
I think it was a locally.
Google that on YouTube. Okay. Ballard's animated intro.
Or don't. Or just listen to our podcast.
Yeah, no,
which
check
is
it
definitely going to continue at some point.
Just cute dancing pigs. Sorry, I'm not going to detract from what you're doing anymore.
Now,
kaboom!
Now we're into puns. This is really... Should we just start over now?
No, we're not start over.
Okay,
we're going to keep on tracting.
Good. Okay.
I don't mean to be... Listen, I don't want to be intractable, but I refuse... Stop.
I just can't get any traction with this topic.
There we go. Okay.
So we're not talking about Dan Perkins. We're talking about Elisha Perkins.
Right. I'll retract what I said earlier about Dan Perkins.
Born in 1741 in Connecticut.
It's a beautiful tract of land right there, Connecticut.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. He was trained in medicine by his father, also Dr. Perkins.
Okay.
Respected physician of the time, of the era, of the region. And he initially started practicing, the typical medicine of the day. I'm not going to say legitimate, high-quality medicine because that was hard to come by in the early 1800s.
Sure.
However, it was the accepted medical practice of the day. Right. As legitimate as it got back then.
Fair enough.
He had an interest in teaching, and he had a huge practice, and he started contributing to the local academy, and he was making a name for himself, doing Daddy Dr. Perkins proud.
All right.
Okay. That was how he started out. His patients were very high profile. He took care of several members of Congress.
Mm.
But Dr. Perkins the Younger was not satisfied with mere goodness. He sought greatness. And in this time, in order to be considered a really great physician, you had to do something more than just like take really good care of the people where you practiced. You had to make something.
Okay.
You know, find a cure, create a new treatment.
Progress.
Yes.
Was the metric of success.
Exactly. Make a device. Do something. Something that you could name after yourself and that would leave its mark on the rest of medical history so that someday Dr. Sidney McRoy could make a podcast about it. So
beautiful.
He based his invention on some observations that he made during a surgical procedure. He noticed that when he touched muscle fibers with metal instruments, that they seemed to contract, like the muscle twitched when he touched it with the metal instruments. He started to repeat this with wooden substances and other materials and things, you know, cloth, whatever. And it didn't seem to react the same way. So he began to theorize that there was something in the metal that had an effect on the human body that wasn't present in other substances. That metal had this like unique influence on our body.
Okay.
Right? Because he observed that. He paired this with an observation he made during a tooth extraction that I find this observation unlikely. However, this is his recorded finding that he based his future experiments upon, that when he separated the gum from the tooth using a metal scalpel, the pain seemed to go away.
Bullcrap.
I have to assume that the patient passed out at this point.
Yeah, they went into shock.
And so this is why they weren't reporting pain. Whatever the situation was, he thought that something in the metal blade, some property that is intrinsic to the metal, completely eliminated the pain that the patient should have been feeling during the procedure.
Okay.
So, and finally, he had an observation that if he took a metal instrument and just placed it, he was about to remove a tumor, which at the time, tumor would have been used for any kind of growth or anything underneath the skin that you couldn't tell what it was.
Okay.
So who knows
fatty
what he was removing.
Fatty deposit or skin.
Yeah, some sort of mass under the skin he was removing. And he just, and it was inflamed. This was an enlarged, inflamed mass. And he just laid the scalpel blade on top of it. And the patient claimed all the pain vanished from just laying the metal blade on top of it, even before he actually excise the tumor, and that somehow just even touching the metal to the skin made the pain go away. So from all this, from these observations, true or not, he created an instrument. He tried various kinds of metal. He tried to, you know, make like different compounds and apply them to painful places on patients.
Mm-hmm.
Like a weird Dr. Seuss thing that we're doing here.
Right.
And to see what would relieve the pain better, which compound was the best, what kind of metal. And eventually he arrived at a specific alloy that he found most effective. So he had these metal prongs and he would lay them on people and he claimed that they could relieve pain. And in 1795, he took all these findings and his new instrument and he presented it to the Connecticut Medical Society and said, look at what I have created. It's metal that makes your pain go away. It's metal that can heal you. Everybody was kind of confused. A lot of them were quite skeptical. And a few of them were completely outraged and, you know, immediately decried this invention. It sounded a lot like animal magnetism, which we've done a show about before.
And that one was real, right?
No, it wasn't.
That one was not.
At all. This seemed to echo that. And at this point, everybody kind of had decided that animal magnetism was fake. And so since this was sort of similar to that concept, a lot of doctors were very kind of scandalized by its presentation. Like, now, Dr. Perkins, we kind of thought you were a real one, like an actual doctor. And now it seems like kind of you're into this fake stuff. And now we're all a little outraged. But the overall opinion, and I think this is very typical for doctors. When you hear about somebody doing, like, they say something and you think, well, that seems completely outrageous, and I think you're full of it. Instead of saying that to their colleague, they said, we think we need some more evidence of this, Dr. Perkins. So why don't you go back to Connecticut and, well, he's in Connecticut. Go back to your home and work on it some more and bring us some more results and let us know when you figured some more out.
You're joking, but that's probably the healthiest place for you to be, right? You don't want to dismiss new stuff out of hand, but you also don't want to immediately accept things without proper proof, right?
I think generally speaking, that's probably the best place to be. I think if a guy comes to you with a piece of metal and says, if I lay it on your tumor, your pain goes away, I'd be a little suspicious.
Well, people were probably very suspicious the first time someone told them that a tiny droplet of an herb in 1,000% solution of water could cure their arthritis. And then look where we are now.
It doesn't. Dr. Perkins, I don't know what his mood was at this point in history. I don't have evidence to tell me how he felt about his presentation to the Connecticut Medical Society. But I do know what he did. And what he did was say, well, screw those guys. I need to make some cash.
Yeah, I need to get paid.
So on February 19th,
get it on Kickstarter.
On February 19th, 1796, he patented what from henceforth will be known as Perkins tractors. They were 2 3-inch metal rods with a point at the end, like rounded at one end and pointy at the other.
Okay.
He claimed that they were made of some unusual metal alloys that were very specialized and secretive, and he couldn't tell you everything, but trust me, they're the best metals that have unique healing properties. They were probably actually just brass and steel.
Perfect.
Yeah. And once
you'll never know. It's been lost to history because they're so secretive.
Once he patented them so that nobody else could steal this really A-plus idea, he began using them to, as he put it, draw off the noxious electrical fluid that lay at the root of suffering.
Perfect.
So basically any pain that you had, he felt he could remove the essence of the pain from your body by simply placing these metal tractors on your skin and sometimes moving them in certain patterns. Sometimes you had to actually move them around. But please know, they're not doing anything to you. He's not cutting anything out. He's not stimulating your skin in any special way with them. He's just putting them on you and maybe moving them about a bit and
calling
with,
it a day.
With that, he could cure.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Was this a home treatment that you could like buy one of these things and do it yourself, or is it you had to go get the treatment from like a licensed professional?
Initially, you had to go get the treatment from a licensed professional, but then he started selling them for about $25 a pair.
You know how they sell the LASIK?
Pretty pricey, you know, for $17.96. Yeah, okay.
You know how they sell the LASIK machines? Because they were like, well, anybody can do this. This is actually fine. We'll just sell you the machine. I don't know why you're even coming in. This is kind of like that.
Sure.
It's just like, we'll just sell you this highly sophisticated medical thing because it's real and you should be able to handle it.
You can do it yourself.
You can do it yourself.
For only $25 a pair. So he began selling these, and he said that they could treat any pain complaint, including, these are just some of the things that you could get treated with your Perkins tractors: rheumatism, gout, eye inflammation, erysipelas, pleurisy, tetters, seizures, lockjaw, bruises, sprains, tumors, burns, headaches, toothaches, earaches, backaches, arm pain, leg pain, breast pain, side pain, and skin conditions.
Somebody please stitch together all of those that Sydney has ever done and just make one huge, like, this can treat, and then goes on for 4 minutes.
And then we just need to make up a medication and start selling it. We'll be billionaires.
Cures are all.
Quickly.
Here, I'll give some audio for the beginning. Cures are all. is a real medicine, and it can treat. And then we'll just list
we'll just
all
do
them.
This. Yeah. By the way, I didn't know what tetters were.
What is tetters?
Tetters. I looked this
sounds
up.
Sounds like an old-timey name for a real thing that we don't use anymore, like how people call it their nerves, you know?
When yeah. Although people definitely still use nerves.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I've never heard it used in common practice, but it's like a colloquial term for any skin condition that has vesicles, like little fluid-filled blisters, and is itchy and is red. So it could be like eczema or ringworm or psoriasis. So anyway, just in case you're curious, I didn't know what tetters was. I had to look it up. So with his device safely patented, Perkins began touring the country to market it and sell it before, I guess, the Connecticut Medical Society or anybody else could stop him.
Yeah, stay one step ahead of the law, but like all great medicine.
So he started out in Philadelphia, where Congress happened to be meeting at the time, and it went over. It was great in Philadelphia.
Oh, they're wild for it there.
Philly loved it. Yes. Yeah. He sold the patent to make it in Philadelphia. I'm guessing like you could sell the patent to different places to like make it there.
If you're doing something at this time period, it sounds like you can do whatever the heck you want.
Yeah, I think you can do anything. It was the board of the almshouse. He sold it to them so they could begin making the tractors and selling them there in Philadelphia. And he began to treat members of Congress with it. That's a great way to raise the profile of your fake medical device, right? They were crazy about it. Even George Washington bought a pair of Perkins metal tractors.
Wow.
So did the Supreme Court Chief Justice Oliver Ellsworth bought some and then wrote a letter of introduction for him to John Marshall saying, listen, Perkins is an A-OK dude and his tractors are great and you should tell all your friends and family about it. And he doesn't say, like, don't give him any trouble. It's just like a this is fine, trust me, this is fine kind of letter. Which I don't know. I mean, like a letter of introduction, that's kind of, you don't do a lot of that anymore. It's like an outdated, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, to explain why I was so excited, John Marshall, obviously, if you don't know, is the namesake of Marshall University, the alma mater of both the hosts of this program, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
Right? Yes.
And statue.
And a statue. Definitely a statue. That's statue what, most notably a statue.
Most notably known for his work as a statue.
On campus. Where Riley is right now.
Yeah.
Aw.
That has nothing to do
that
with
has nothing
me.
To do with anything. Anyway, he wasn't satisfied with the U.S. though, Perkins. That's not enough. No. Why just sell something here when you could sell it other places too? So he sent his son, Benjamin Perkins, Ben Perkins, who had just graduated from Yale, to go set up shop in London, actually the former home of another famous doctor, John Hunter, and sell his tractors there.
His real tractors.
Mm-hmm. So he would see patients in the morning there, Ben Perkins, this now the son, in this place in London. He set up shop, and he would have people come in. He would see them. Definitely whatever was wrong with them would be treated with the tractors.
Oh, good.
Of course.
You're in luck.
I have these tractors. They treat that, whatever that is.
This is tractor friendly.
Then he would sell them tractors. And then he would go do home visits all afternoon and evening to sell more tractors. They were 5 guineas a pair.
Wow. So
in London.
So that is compared to the price.
I'm assuming that's like that would have been equivalent to the 25 US at the time.
I mean, you have to imagine. I mean, how much was a guinea? It was they don't use this coin anymore, so who knows? It's about a pound and a shilling. So about, wow. So
five shillings.
So like, I mean, going by today's exchange rate, it's like what, like $7.50?
Yeah.
Man, y'all getting a deal.
Well, but who knows what the exchange rate was, the pound to the dollar in.
I mean, yeah, maybe, I guess.
Revolutionary War.
Yeah, that's fair. Who knows?
Who knows? Anyway, that's not the purpose of this podcast. So Benjamin Perkins selling his tractors, making a name for his father all over London, and he published. This
don't
is the thing.
Don't tweet at us, by the way, about that. I don't care.
I do.
Okay, tweet at Sydney.
Tweet at me. I think it's interesting. He then published, and this is the thing you need to know about Ben Perkins. If you don't remember anything else, dude can name a book.
Okay.
He is, if we write another book, this is who we should go to for the title. I mean, he's not with us anymore, but if we could.
If we can channel him.
Yes. He published The Influence of Metallic Tractors on the Human Body in Removing Various Painful Inflammatory Diseases, such as rheumatism, pleurisy, some gouty affections, et cetera, lately discovered by Dr. Perkins of North America and demonstrated in a series of experiments and observations by Professor Miggs, Woodward, Rogers, et cetera, by which the importance of the discovery is fully ascertained and a new field of inquiry opened in the modern science of galvanism or animal electricity by Benjamin Douglas Perkins, A.M., son of the discoverer.
And it says here, based on the novel Push by Sapphire. It says that at the end.
These are the best named books in it. There's more. Just wait. There's more.
There's more?
But first.
Oh, no.
Let's head to the billing department.
Oh, this one hurts. Okay, let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth. Now, Sydney, you were, I would say, teasing me with some other great titles that Ben has worked up, and I hope you've got some of those in store for me.
So, let me just say at this point, Ben Perkins' sales pitch is working really well overseas. The use of Perkins tractors has earned its own field of study of science, Perkinism.
Mm.
There are many enthusiastic followers now of
Perkinism. Sure to
Perkinism.
Hold up well to that level of scrutiny.
Yeah. Once it has a name, it's real, right?
Yeah, it's real.
It's Perkinism. That's it. That's what homeopathy did. It's got a name. It's real now, right?
Bakkenism.
Now, obviously, there were some doctors who began to, you know, fight against this. There were doctors speaking out. I don't want to say that everybody was, like, just going with the flow. There were people who were saying, listen, this can't be real. This doesn't make any sense. And also, how in the world do you expect us to trust you when you're making the device, you're selling the device, and you're saying everything can be treated with the device, and you profit off of that?
Mm-hmm.
That seems ethically
weird,
questionable. But he had a lot of people jumping to his defense. Every time somebody questioned him, there were doctors. There were the heads of various medical societies, as well as Jonathan Trumbull, the governor of Connecticut. Josiah Miggs was a Yale professor who wrote very influentially about how they were used on his son, and that they were. He also mentioned, by the way, that they were great for pain and picking up walnuts. Well, I don't know why that was mentioned, but
they're great for picking up walnuts.
Yeah, medical. Tractors.
I know, but like
pain
and if it turns out this isn't real, the good news is
you can pick up walnuts.
Your walnut problems are solved.
I wonder if we could use them on the chestnuts out in the yard with the spiky things on them.
Maybe
they'd be good for that.
Hey folks, chestnut tree, when you get it, if you buy a house with a chestnut tree in it, it's gonna seem real charming and like a real nice chestnut roasting on the open fire, what have you. Folks, there is nothing sharper on this earth than the husk surrounding chestnuts.
Yeah, they're these balls of hypodermic needles that fall from the trees over your children's swing set.
It's a miserable plague. Chestnut trees are a miserable plague, and I think, dare I say it, Earth would be better if we uprooted all of them and burned them in a big fire.
No, well, don't say that, because maybe you would love our house with this beautiful chestnut tree out back to buy someday.
Are you in the mood for a house? Do you like chestnuts?
They'll go through your shoes.
Oh, by the way,
through your shoes.
Even cooking them is a giant pain in the butt.
Anyway, this is not about chestnuts. So Ben is still Ben Perkins is really the reason these got so successful. I mean, Elisha made him. Of course, he was the creator, the inventor. But Ben was not satisfied with one book. He published another one. Every time, like, they were called into practice, he just published more books to, like, prove that they were working. So this one was Experiments with the Metallic Tractors in Rheumatism and Gouty Affections, Inflammations, and Various Tropical Diseases, as published by surgeons Herholt and Roft, translated into German by Professor Toad, thence into English by Mr. Charles Kampfmuller, also reports demonstrating the efficacy of the metallic practice, edited by Benjamin Douglas Perkins, son of the discoverer.
That's a good.
Always got to get that son of the discoverer on there. They got really hot in Denmark when the wife of a U.S. diplomat took them with her there and started telling everybody about them. And she was very popular, so everybody liked whatever she was doing and wanted to do it too. So, like, for a while, Perkinism really took off in Denmark.
It's very hot.
Yeah, it was very hot in Denmark. Some people also began using them on animals, and it was in that book that I just mentioned, it was also noted they seem to work better on horses than cows and sheep.
Okay.
How you could tell.
Sure.
I don't know.
You
just ask the horses.
Just ask the horses.
Well, at this point, the Connecticut Medical Society, I guess, realized he wasn't coming back. Anybody seen Elisha lately?
He's just been adjourned for that long.
Where did old Dr. Perkins the Elder go? Well, I don't know, but you should see what his son's doing in London. They were still waiting to hear back. They didn't hear back. So they met in May of that year and passed a resolution that basically says, this is fake and this is very dangerous what he's doing. And we're very angry about it. And we basically say that this is disgraceful to the faculty and delusive to the ignorant, and that we're going to expel him from the Connecticut Medical Society. And they called it delusive quackery. So quackery, they announced it.
Yeah, but that's just like their opinion, man.
Sure, sure. And I don't know that everybody all over the world was listening to the Connecticut Medical Society's opinion.
Maybe
they
nobody. Should have been. They may have something, but also I'd like to hear some more about these cool walnut grabbing things that can fix my arthritis.
So he was expelled. They even talked about how awful it was. People were selling their horse and carriages to pay for these tractors.
Which is ironic because once they had a tractor, they wouldn't need the horses anymore. Because
no, wrong.
If it was still for
wrong kind of,
there was a.
It's a different tractor.
You see, I
thought we'd already established.
But if, I mean,
these are definitely different tractors.
Yes.
Yes.
But
yes.
No.
Anyway, so the tractors are really hot. Ben Perkins is just selling the heck out of them overseas. In the U.S., things are starting to get a little shaky.
Mm-hmm.
And then
John Science is starting to catch up with them.
And then Dr. Perkins the Elder turns his attentions elsewhere because in 1798, yellow fever is ravaging the United States. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Back in the day?
Yeah.
I think we've said that before. Yellow fever used to be a problem in the U.S., as did malaria. And Dr. Perkins wanted to be part of the fight against yellow fever. And so he didn't use his tractors for this. He did not. He had his own mixture that he thought would be helpful with yellow fever because he had used it in the past for dysentery. And he thought that this was maybe going to be, although I don't think it was successful with dysentery. I don't know why he thought yellow fever was going to be the ticket, but he tried anyway. He made this mixture of vinegar and baking soda and hot water and administered it to people thinking it would cure them of their yellow fever. He went to Connecticut, but by then the epidemic was already kind of waning. So he went to Massachusetts and it was already starting to wane there. So he finally caught up with like the height of the epidemic in New York in the summer of 1799. He began using his new treatment. I don't know that it actually did any good. And unfortunately, while he was trying to administer help to the suffering, he succumbed to yellow fever in the fall of that year, which I only mention before you give me a hard time because the tractors didn't stop.
Tractors? No, that wasn't the end of it?
No, because Ben Perkins is still overseas doing his like reclaiming his father's legacy by selling these tractors. He patented the tractors in London. He wrote more books. He started the Perkinian Institute.
The Perkinian Institute.
Yes, the Perkinian Institute, dedicated to the study and furthering of the science of
the not so careful studying of,
of these pieces of metal that will fix you. Benjamin Franklin's son sat on the board of the Perkinian Institute.
Really?
It was the nicest medical building in London. It far outshone the hospitals of the time, It was a, they had a lot of money. They were selling useless things to people, and people were buying them in droves. And you can read in some of these books, you'll read like these claims by people who had been treated by them, who will say like, I know they work for me. And there was even like an account of a woman who was like, I had this horrible bruise and my friend brought the tractors over and put them over the bruise. And she swore the bruise was gone afterwards. I kind of thought it was still there, but she says it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That kind of claim.
Yeah.
Which,
specious,
you know,
at best.
Anyway, this is where Dr. John Haygarth of Bath comes in. And this is where this intersects with placebo theory.
Bath is lovely.
Bath is lovely.
We spent a lovely week there once before we had kids. It wasn't lovely just because our kids weren't there, but that didn't hurt, I would say. It's a lovely area.
It is lovely.
Paying tribute to Bath, yes, which is lovely.
Well, Dr. John Haygarth, he decided he was going to look into these tractors by creating some wooden tractors that looked as if they were identical to the metal tractors. They looked like they were made out of metal, but they were actually made out of wood. And he began treating patients with the wooden tractors the same way that they were being treated with the metal tractors. And what he found is that they all responded the same.
Hmm.
Either it worked or it didn't, no matter what they were using. And basically he said, you know, all you have to do is tell them how well it's working while you're using it, and it works.
Wow, that's it?
Yeah, just hold the tractors over them, and no matter what they're made out of, you just say, look how great this is working. These are so wonderful. Do you know how many people these cured? Have you read the books?
Yeah.
And basically at the end, the patients responded. Oh, or they didn't, but it was the same no matter what. And so that kind of undid the theory that the metal was the thing curing people, because obviously it didn't matter. And people began to talk about the placebo effect. And that was last week's episode. Just so you know, Ben Perkins made one last effort to refute this with one last great, great book.
The last of his trilogy.
The last. I think there were more in there.
Probably, sure.
New cases of practice with Perkins' patent metallic tractors on the human body and on animals, but especially on infants and horses, chiefly from the clerical and medical professions, with a confutation of every attack upon the metallic practice.
I don't care. You can't have a phrase like, but especially on infants and horses, in any context in the English. Like, I cannot think of a context in which, but especially on infants and horses, that like, unless it's like, diapers look cute, especially on infants and horses.
Wait, do they look cute on horses though?
They can be cute. I mean, no, you're
no,
right.
They don't.
No, okay. I stand corrected.
I don't
want
to see diapers on horses. I don't have any problem with horses.
But
I just don't want to see diapers.
Especially on infants and horses.
Despite this last gasp effort from Perkins the Younger, this was kind of the end of the tractors.
Well, they had a good run.
They really started to fall out of favor. The Perkinian Institute closed, and people in Denmark weren't using them anymore. And everybody in the UK was kind of up to what was going on. In the US, there were enough people yelling about it that. That was kind of the end. Everybody had decided that they were probably fake and we should probably start using them. Ben Perkins hightailed it back to New York with like $50,000 in profit, which again, probably a lot for the time.
Good, yeah.
Yeah.
Seems good.
And he went into publishing because obviously that's where his talents truly lied all along. And that was the end of Perkins Tractors.
Well, congratulations. To Perkins, he had a good run of it, I think. Made a lot of money, helped a lot of people. And yeah. I think we can all agree that this is a great success.
I mean, he thought he did. They thought he did. Somebody thought he did.
And yet you, Dr. McElroy, seem to remain unconvinced of the power of Perkins tractors.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they were fake. They didn't work.
Hey, don't worry, little lady. We got some pink ones for you, too, here in the back. Perkins tractors take care of guys, girls. And we don't care. We got tractors in every color of the rainbow.
Well, I think we're done. I think we're all out of time.
Hey, no, let me. Hold on. I got to. Have you heard the good news? I got some tracks here for you.
Dear thank yous.
I'm kind of an outsider.
Tell people about our website and whatnot. Do your thing there.
uh, he starts witnessing about the gospel of Jesus Christ if you let him keep going. Oh. That's the character eventually.
Okay.
He's staunchly conservative and a deeply faithful person.
I think this needs a little more work.
I'm going to take it back to the woodshed.
Okay. All right.
thank you so much for listening to our program. If you want to listen to more episodes of the show, you can subscribe on a podcast platform of your choice or on iTunes, which is also a great place to leave a review if you don't mind. That actually really, really helps us out. So if you have not done that, please do so. Also, we have a book coming out July. Last month.
That's not when it's coming out.
Next month is September, and then after that is October, and that is defo when the book is coming out. You can go to bit.ly/thesawbonesbook to pre-order it, and also we're going to be doing a signing and talk at the Tribeca Barnes and Noble store. That is going to be on October 17th. You can get details about that on our Facebook page of Sawbones. So you can go enjoy that. And we hope that you can make it out for that. All you got to do is buy the book on that day. If you buy the book that day, then you can come to that signing and the talk. And it'll be oodles of fun. So thanks to Taxpayers for the use of their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. And thanks to you for listening. We appreciate you very much, and we hope you have enjoyed yourself. But until next week, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.